I had 200 plants. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like people when they tell me they grow, they're like, oh, I have like 4 or 5 plants. I didn't realize like how it's, I was growing a lot of weed and I just like loved weed. I just had all these different strains. And yo, the landlord was like a crazy slumlord, okay? He was doing crazy shit. He came, like, I gotta show you guys, like, the homie Tori made me this. On the 8th day, God said trap. It's my catchphrase. On the 8th day, God said sell weed. So, like, this guy came over one day, and he comes into the, like, the thing. And he was like, sees that I'm selling all this weed. And he was, and I was basically like, I pay my bills. I pay you all the time. What are you going to do about it? And he was like, I don't know. You're my best tenant. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I am. This guy was just trouble and he tried to cause me trouble. And so I had to move out. Like there was a mold problem, a really bad mold problem that I had discovered. And it was so bad, like, there was asbestos and mold, that I was like, bro, if you fix this, I'll stay. I'll pay you. I'll stay. And he didn't want to do it. And so he thought So he tried to sue me, and this was also happening while I'm, like, dying.
I'm Jake. I'm here with my co-host, Adrian. Say what up.
Hello. What up?
And we are here with Kyle, all the way from South side of Chicago, right?
South side, baby.
Let's go.
Let's go. It's only like 105 degrees today.
Really? Seriously?
It's really hot today. It says like on the heat index, it's 105. So I'm in the basement.
I mean,
nice.
It was kind of cool here on the East Coast, right, Adrian?
Yeah, the Cape was really cool. And then like, I came up to like my parents and it was pretty hot. And then up at the lake now, it's pretty cool.
This is going to be a good story time. So I'm Kyle. I'm 35 now. All this stuff happened to me when I'm 33. I'm transgender. That's a big part of this story. And it's super random. I live right now in Chicago, Illinois, back with the family. Yeah, you know, when you almost die, you just got to go back home. It's great. It was not a willing participant. Like I was basically taken kicking and screaming back to Chicago, but I lived for a very long time in Colorado and California. So I would like to say I spent prior to this, probably like the last 15 years, a majority of my time in California and Colorado, and then kind of just being thrown back into Chicago, you know, when I don't want to be, I just get stuck back here. I just get sucked into the South Side. It wants me.
That's how it goes.
That's how it goes. So I'll kick this off. I transitioned in 2016. Everyone else who transitioned gained a lot. Everyone's like gaining weight, going to the gym and everything. And I'm like, I'm not like, I gained a little bit of weight, but I like plateaued and like things didn't continue to like, I just wasn't making these gains and everything. So prior to my transition, I had been like, I was basically in training to be a professional editor. And I was an assistant editor and I was editing on like shows and stuff. And I had a lot of experience. I transitioned. This is when I learned that there's really no like HR, like my boss was it. And so I didn't get fired for being trans, but I did. And so at this point, I'm still getting, they had no real legitimate reason to fire me. So they just had to be like, oh, we don't have enough money to pay you anymore. So I was getting unemployment.
Damn.
Okay. Yes. Crazy. Up. And at this time, at this point in time, my family is also really mad that I've transitioned. And they're like, I don't know about this. And so it's basically like, I'm in California and I got to do this on my own. And so I took my unemployment and I started going to all these cannabis brands that were starting out and being like, yo, I have a lot of professional experience. Can I film and shoot content for you? So I get really involved in the cannabis scene. And as things go on, I become a grower and I'm really into plants and I'm helping people with that and everything. So I'm at this point, I'm in California. I am growing marijuana. I'm helping other people work in the industry. And I am, Jake, I'm starting to really not feel good. I have video and I'm going to like the doctor and being like, hey, I really don't feel good. Like, I feels like something's really wrong. Like, I'm having my period like forever. And I'm getting like, I'm not feeling good. Like, I'm like 90 pounds at this point. I've always been really thin. I've never broken 100 pounds or like 105 pounds. So at this point, I'm not super worried. Like I said, I've always had like issues where I've kind of like not felt good from eating and all this. And then, so it's like 2019. I'm going and I'm getting blood work done. I'm going to the doctor and I'm telling him this. My blood work is coming back normal. Everything, every test they're running, they're not finding anything. So I'm like, all right, like it must be anxiety. And I'm like, bro, you know what? I have a lot of anxiety. I have really bad anxiety.
Something else.
That's like way more than anxiety.
Right. And so I'm telling my like therapist this, who God bless her, was like one of the few people outside my family who believed me that something was wrong. And so she got me into refer me to like a gynecologist and everything. And that lady was ready. She was like, you need to get these out. My insurance did not fucking qualify. I had no money to do this. So kind of like through horrible, like maybe me not pushing, that never happens. So at this point, it's like 2020. The pandemic has hit. Things shut down. As somebody who is like smoking and like selling marijuana, bro, everything else shut down. No, I didn't. I went to work. Thank God there was no traffic. It made my life a lot easier. Okay.
Like the weed industry didn't stop for COVID.
People got really anxious being stuck inside. People needed something. And
well, it was like the same with liquor stores, right?
Yes, right.
People. It's like essential.
They couldn't close them down. They literally couldn't close them down. People would die if they closed down liquor stores during COVID.
And
literally
so many people. And so there was like within the cannabis community, there was like basically a conspiracy theory between everybody that COVID wasn't real because we totally probably all had it because like before it was announced, we would be at the sessions. It would be like me and my business partner. And they'd be like, oh yeah, Donnie down there, he just got out of the hospital. They don't know why. He thinks he has pneumonia, but the doctor says like, no, everyone would get like really sick and be like, I don't know why. Like I got COVID, I almost died. I wrote a note. I remember in my house that said, if you find me dead, it's not the weed. Because my family was really against it. Right?
I swear the weed didn't kill me.
It's like, it's not the marijuana, mom and dad. Like, that's not it. But it was crazy.
It's the devil's grass.
The devil's lettuce got me.
Lettuce, there you go. Yeah.
But so it was crazy. And so during this time, I had to move. So I moved from like California to Colorado, and this was like 2020. So I'm in Colorado and I'm starting to get sicker and sicker. Weird things are happening. I'm still feeling really bad. But at this point, like I wasn't getting my period in. I couldn't eat gluten. I couldn't eat like gluten was making me really sick. And I think
What would it do?
So I would eat bread and stuff and I would just get so ill. It'd be like my whole body, I would describe it like my intestines were becoming inflamed and I just would like crumple up into a ball and I would be so sick. And the only way I could get up and function was if I smoked weed. And I didn't know how to tell people this without like people would be like, I think you're addicted to marijuana. And I would be like, yo, maybe I am addicted to weed. Maybe it's the weed that's making me sick. So I quit weed for 2 weeks. I become so ill. I really thought I was going to die. okay. And so after 2 weeks, I like crawl out of my bed. I was like, I give up. I can't take it anymore. I go back to smoking weed and I feel better. And so I'm like, okay, maybe I have like IBS or something's going on. Maybe I have a gluten sensitivity. I completely stop eating gluten. I feel a little better. And so I did this test, this like Everly Wells test that was, it told you if you had like a sensitivity to something, and it came up that I had a food sensitivity to chicken. And I thought that was super weird. I've been eating chicken my entire life and I've never had this issue.
I love chicken.
And there's so many things. Sometimes. It's, right?
This sounds like not a real test. This sounds like something you go online and it's like, oh, you shouldn't eat like dumplings. And
no, it's like a blood test thing that you, yeah. Oh, okay. You take in. Yeah, it's not like a click
like
and
a prick.
It's really
like a survey.
Yeah, a survey. Don't eat that.
Like one of those, what Disney, well, that's character what I was... are you or something like that.
Yeah,
it's like, what food sensitivity do you have?
What bread are you?
Oh, yeah. Sounded like a fortune cookie thing. You're like, oh, okay.
And
but
so,
no, this was like real.
Legit.
This happened. Yeah. I'm also, during this time, I realized my passion is cannabis and helping people with cannabis. I'm renting a warehouse and I'm growing a lot of weed. And so the only thing
like how much?
I had 200 plants. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people are like, people, when they tell me they grow, they're like, oh, I have like 4 or 5 plants. I didn't realize, yeah, like how it's, I was growing a lot of weed and I just like loved weed. I just had all these different strains. And yo, the landlord was like a crazy slumlord. Okay. He was doing crazy shit. He came like, I got to show you guys, like the homie Tori made me this on the 8th day. God said trap. It's my catchphrase. On the 8th day, God said, sell weed. So like this guy came over one day and he comes into the, like the thing and he was like, sees that I'm selling all this weed. And he was, and I was basically like, I pay my bills. I pay you all the time. What are you going to do about it? And he was like, I don't know. You're my best tenant. I was like, yeah, that's right. That's right. I am. This guy was just trouble and he tried to cause me trouble. And so I had to move out. Like there was a mold problem, a really bad mold problem discovered. And it was so bad. Like there was asbestos and mold. And I was like, bro, if you fix this, I'll stay. I'll pay you. I'll stay. And he didn't want to do it. And so wow. So he tried to sue me, and this was also happening while I'm like dying. So I had to like move and find another place to live and kind of chop down like a lot of my plants, because where the hell am I going to bring 200 weed plants?
It's a lot.
Yeah.
You need a big U-Haul for that.
Need a big U-Haul. And I've done that before. And so that's another. How I got to Colorado is kind of like a legendary story. I move us up to like Coal Creek, Colorado. I get a 2,800 square foot house. This is it. I am planning to stay there for like years. I'm kind of hoping what's going to happen is like, it was a private rental. So I was really kind of hoping that I was going to be able to contact the guy that owns this house and be like, I want to buy this house from you. I want to live here. Can we make a deal? Can I just pay you? Like, what do you want? And that was going to be the next couple of years. So I had moved to this place with intention. I loved this house. I took really good care of it. I was like putting like my own money, like asking the people like, hey, can I make these changes to build this up? And so I move us up there. At this point, I put some videos together and I'll send you them after this so you can see. I'm becoming really tired, Jake. But I'm accounting this for the fact that I'm 10,000 feet up. You know, I'm getting older now. I was about to turn 33. I was like, maybe things are catching up with me. Like I rip a bong every day. I was just thinking about this. But I also was telling my therapist, like, I have a really good sixth sense. My mom does too. I was telling Elise, I was like, yo, Elise, I have a feeling something really bad is going to happen to me. And I go to bed and there's a click in my head. I woke up the next morning and I couldn't walk or see. Like the world, I was in a washer and I'm like stumbling all over and I'm puking. I talk to my family every day. I have to tell them. My mom's like, what'd you do today? Like, how are you? And I'm like, listen, I don't know what's up, but I have the flu really, really bad. Like, I'm pretty sure I need an IV. Can you like send me some like money so I can call and get like an IV team to come up here and drive up here? So IVT comes, gives me an IV. This is how I knew it was bad. I feel better for maybe 2 hours. My brother's on the fire department. My brother tells my mom, like, yo, listen. He also like texts me and he's like, hey, you got to go to the hospital because you're either having a stroke or you have a brain tumor and you're not dead yet. So it's probably like a brain tumor, right? So I'm in the middle of nowhere. I'm in the middle of the mountain. So I call 911.
Where are you? You said Cold Creek?
I'm in like Cold Creek, Colorado, which is really close to like Boulder. So I call 911. There's like kind of snow and everything. They're kind of like almost can't get to me at first. The ambulance finally gets there. I am taken to Boulder County Hospital. Never go there. And you know what they told me? They told me I was fucking high. And I was like, listen.
Sorry, that's why.
I was like, I promise you.
You're like, I've been high every day of my life.
Every day of like,
that's not it.
I'm puking like in a bag, stumbling. I had to call an Uber. They did not want to even drive me home.
That's fucked up.
I lost my Uber 5-star rating over this, okay?
Puking in the car?
No, just like I was so fucked up in the back of this car. And this guy to drive me up to this mountain town.
So you went back home.
I go back home.
Oh my God.
And I sat down on my couch and I just smoked a bunch of weed. I felt a little bit better. So it gets worse. I begin to get sicker. I go back to the hospital. I explain what's going on. And God bless them. They listen to me and they do an MRI on me. And they're like, so good news, bad news. The good news is you do not have anxiety.
So,
but the bad news is you have this mass in your head and it's in my cerebellum, in my brainstem, like basically.
Oh man.
And so they're like, I'm so young. People really don't think this is cancer at this point. So they give me steroids. Like, we're going to put you on steroids. Hopefully this is like, you know, some blood clot thing or whatever. That's like, and the worst case scenario is we're going to remove it. It's not going to be fun, but you're going to be okay. And my family, my mom works full time. My dad's retired, but like they couldn't get to me. They were both experienced like AFib and they're going to the doctor a lot. And it just was not viable. My parents cannot be up in the mountains. My mom cannot handle it. And so God bless Tati, the homie who I met, at one point we were like professional blood rollers. That's how I met Tati. And so called her up and I was like, yo, can we fly you in? Can you help take care of me? Cause I'm effed up. And so she was like, yep. And so flew Tati in. Tati came and stayed with me and was taking care of me while I'm on the steroids, which are making me kind of weird. And I'm also not feeling any better. I'm getting worse and I'm like freaking out. And so Tati has to go back home. Tati drives my truck to the airport. I lie to Tati and tell her that my best friend is going to drive me home. He's a little too busy. he meets up with me and is like, I want to watch you drive this vehicle and make sure you're okay. And he was like, you know what? You're driving that pretty damn good.
Oh, good. I thought it was going to be like you were swerving all over the road. Like, no, he was like, didn't realize it, hitting shit.
He was like, you know what? He was like, I trust that you're going to be able to like get home.
How much time has gone by?
It's been like 2 weeks. It's been almost a month.
Since the good hospital?
The good hospital. So this is like into November. This is so fucked up. I think this is who I remember taking me to the final hospital, because it gets a little fuzzy around here. At this point, like, I'm back at the house, and I kind of, at this point, have realized deep inside of myself that I am either going to die or I'm going to have at least brain surgery. So, super fun realization when you're just up in the mountains, hanging out with your cat, growing weed. So I called Lullaby and I was like, hey, can you come pick me up and take me to the hospital? By the way, not to be kind of dark, this might be our last time we ever see each other. So, you know, if you want to smoke or something before we go, we can totally burn it down for a little while. Like, no rush. Like, let's end this on a high point, right? Yeah. And so Lullaby comes over with her girlfriend, Lexi, and we burn it down. We burn it down real good. And they take me to the hospital, and we pull up. Go to walk in. And there's all these, like, metal detectors. And Lullaby's like, hang on, girly pups. I gotta go put my guns back in the car.
Oh, my God. So
we had to go back in the car, put her guns away, because she's licensed to conceal and carry. And when you're a trans woman, you know, sometimes, you know, you gotta be safe. And thank God she did, because she grabbed the Benjamin and was like, Kyle, maybe you should take this. You might need it. And I was like, thanks. So we go in there. I go into the hospital and I'm like, okay, bye, friends. They pull me in back and they're like, all right, good news, bad news. They're like, we're going to transfer you to another hospital in the morning, but you're going to have brain surgery 50-50. If you live or die. So, you know, if there's anything that you want to do, any passwords that you want to give your family, any will, maybe do that. And so I was like, what?
Did you know it was cancer at this point?
No, I have no idea it's cancer. And actually, I just looked at the, like, because they gave me like a paper before this and I had not really like read too far into it. And at the bottom, it says it can't rule out that this is like a metastatic mass. And I did not read that at the time.
So what did that like saying 50-50 feel like for you?
I basically was like, what do you mean? I didn't say goodbye to my cats or anything. Like, I kind of didn't. When I left my house, I kind of just silently committed to myself. I was like, listen, I have to survive brain surgery because my family has been through so much stuff. If I die, I think somebody's going to like, it's just, I like committed. I was like, I'm just going to commit to coming back. But it was really surreal. And I didn't really call anyone up and say goodbye because I was just like, I don't really want to even put that into the cards. Like, right. Like, I don't know. I just kind of was like, all right. So I went into the bathroom, Jake, and I ripped that cart until it died. And I recorded a video for the nurses. I was like, this one's for you ladies. If I die, this is the real Kyle. And it was the song Night Nurse, and it's me singing it. And I had no idea, like, in the IV, they must have been, like, giving me something to make me go to sleep. Because, like, my brother said, like, he was like, yo, I called you. We had a really deep conversation. I was like, bro, I have no memory of that. I'm so, so sorry. I didn't know that they were giving me these drugs. I just was like, well, this is it. So I was like, might as well, like Ozzy. I was like, this is it. This is how I want to go out. And so I just did that, and I like laid down. Like, I haven't had like a girlfriend in like 10 years. I was like, I just kind of like texted my friends, and like everyone was like, see you later, bros. Like, if I die, my mom's gonna text you. So like, I put everybody in a group chat and was like, all right, peace, love, you got this. So November 15th, I have brain surgery. And I wake up, and I know when you said that when you almost died, like, you don't remember anything, but I met death. For a really long time, I really thought it was just OxyContin that was making me feel this way, until I met somebody who overdosed on OxyContin and told me that that's not, you don't have, like, that doesn't happen. So basically, I woke up, and I'm just going to stand because it was so crazy. There was this lady, like, standing at my bed like this, and I didn't know who this woman looked like. She looked like every other person I have ever seen and like met every day in my like life. And she did not speak. I had no choice but to go with her. And she took me to a cornfield, and the sky was like orange and yellow. And I was in this cornfield in this like labyrinth, and I get to the middle, and there's like all these like other people there. And I'm like, where's the weed? And they're like, oh, there's no weed here. And I'm like, well, I can't stay here. I'm not staying in this world if there's no weed. And so they're like, well, you can't leave. And I was like, well, you don't know why. You can't keep me here. Like, I'm dipping. Peace. And so I begin to walk out of this, like, farm, out this, like, labyrinth. And crazy things are happening, like tornadoes. There's dogs throwing themselves off roofs. Everybody walking in is like, yo, why does this guy get to leave and we don't? And they're like, oh, I don't know. And I leave, and I wake up, and my mom is pulling this oxygen mask off my face, and she's like, you made it. And so that lady kept coming back randomly. And I scared the nurses after this, for sure. I was like, I remember I like caught up with it, and I was like, who's taking me to the cornfield? I don't want to go back there. And the one nurse goes, oh no, I don't like this.
Crazy. You escaped death by there's no weed here. So
there's
I'm
no
not,
weed.
I'm not coming.
Yeah.
So.
But on a serious note, I've also had like very vivid hallucinations while I was in states like that. And
yeah,
and did it like feel real?
It was
you?
So real. It was so real. And it was really, really freaky. I also imagine like I told the nurse that, and she literally told me, my nurse, I believe her name, my nurse's name, Corinne, that was her name. She was like, and I only remember this because she was like, listen, she was like, we don't have any, she's like, no one's taking you to a cornfield. I don't like that. She's like, if you see that lady, you tell her she can't come back into this hospital. And you can tell her I told you that. And so that lady did come back, and I was like, hey, bro, my nurse Corinne said you can't be in here no more. You can't come back. That woman was mad, but she left. And so I would have like these hallucinations, and I have to go watch the Drew Barrymore show, because one of the hallucinations in and out of me like recovering from brain surgery, and I was told this is during the time that I was like unconscious, is me at a party with Drew Barrymore and Oprah. And we're eating corn chicken nuggets. What? I must have been so hungry. And they told me I was going to be okay. They were like, Kyle, you're going to be good. And I was like, thanks, Oprah and Drew. I know you got me. I have no idea why I was having these. So, yeah. Oprah and Drew.
That's so weird.
So how long were you? So they successfully do the surgery.
Take this mass out. It's November 15th. November 20th, on my birthday, the doctor comes in. Oh, in between this, I'm like in the hospital because they're sending this in. There's 5 days for this biopsy to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it's probably going to be like cancer. They've kind of already like hinted at this. The doctors, like, I can hear the whisperings in the hall that this is not good, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
And so I also still can't see. And I sent you a photo, and it's me with like an eye patch, and I look like number two from Austin Powers, because they didn't know. It was like I was looking out of two different TVs, and they're like, this might just be the norm. And I was like, about to be blind? I was like, this is really effed up. So I was just upset. And so I'm just kind of like blind. I've had this surgery. I can't smoke weed. I'm in the fucking hospital. So on my birthday, this is how I know. And you know, because you've had this happen to you. When all the doctors come in, and when the doctor comes in, he sits down with this little friend. Oh, shit. You know it's going to be bad.
It's not good.
Not good. When he sits you down and he's like, you know it.
So
he was like,
lay it on me. Yep.
He's like, I know it's your birthday. I wish I had better news. It's cancer. This is your last birthday.
Wow.
He
said it that way?
He said it. Like, he was like, this is your last birthday. I'm going to leave you alone for a little while. And he left, and he went into the office, or like into the hallway, and he told all those nurses, this is Kyle's last birthday, so make it a good one. I like was like, uh-oh. Because what people didn't realize is I had been essentially blind for a month. And my hearing was unfucking believable at this point. So I could hear like things. And I was telling people this, and they were like, no, it can't be that good. But I could hear. Like,
when I was locked in, I could hear from my neuro ICU bed, I could hear nurses at the nurses' station where they monitor. I know that was like far away. Mm-hmm. And I also was like, you know, I'm pretty rational. And mm-hmm. I'm like, I can't be hearing that, but I did.
Yeah.
So I get it.
Super true. Like,
have you ever heard of that, Adrian? Because Adrian's a nurse.
So yeah. I have heard that the hearing is like your last sense to go. So when people pass, they teach you to keep talking to the patient and,
absolutely,
you know, don't be saying negative things or anything like that. Don't be gossiping, because there are theories that your hearing is the last thing to go. Mm-hmm. And then go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead. No, sorry.
I was going to say also, just like for your case, Kyle, not being able to see, your body is amazing at adapting. So if you can't see, you got to figure out some other way to get around. So your body adapts and your hearing gets better. Other senses take over.
And so that was super, super wild. And so upon hearing this, I'm like, this is really bad. My mom, a lot of her friends have passed away from cancer. So immediately I was like, I can't even tell her this over the phone. So I call my dad and I was like, listen, not to burden you with like the news. I know that you're in the same room. It was like, it's cancer. And I didn't know the doctors kind of already had warned my family that this was probably going to be cancer. And I was like, it's cancer. It's really bad. So can you let her know? And he was like, yeah, excuse me. And so immediately after this, I was like, oh, this is bad. I called Lullaby and I'm like, listen, again, you work in the cannabis industry, girl. I was like, this is the only time in my life you need to come to this hospital right now, and you need to come get me and bring me down into the parking lot and I need to rip a bong. This is the only time in my life I've ever actually needed someone to show up. She's like, all right, Lexi's getting off work at this time. I'll see you in a little bit. And so I wasn't even supposed to leave the hospital, but this, at this point, everybody knows me. I'm Kyle. Everyone's vibing with me. And so I'm in like a walker. I got my eye patch on. And so Lullaby comes in and she's like, hey, Kyle just got some bad news. We're going to take him on a little walk. I promise you, we are not. He's not going to leave. We're not going to escape. But we'll be back in a little bit. And the nurses were like, normally we don't allow this, but we love Kyle. You guys do your thing. And so I'm in my walker. We walk to the, like I'm in a hospital gown, you guys. They take me, the car pulls up. I can't believe it was so bad that nobody was taking it. I knew it was bad because no one was taking any videos or like photos. Lullaby takes my walker, fires it in the back, sits me in the front. And they give me the bong and they're like, you just smoke that until you don't want to anymore. And I just ripped that bong for a little bit. And I was like, all right, if this is it, at least I got it in one more time. And so we just vibed for a little bit. My mom used to work in hospital billing, was able to get all my stuff transferred over to Illinois. And it was kind of like a race to get me to treatment because they don't know where this cancer is coming from. So this whole, like, for the next week, I'm in the hospital and they're trying to figure out where my mystery cancer is coming from. And they're like, all right, at this point, I personally am like, this is from my ovaries, 100%. But they're like, we don't know about that. So they're like, we're going to do a colonoscopy. We think that you're loaded with cancer and we're going to find it everywhere. And so basically, nobody anticipated me leaving the hospital at this point. They're like, we're going to do this colonoscopy. Kyle's going to be loaded with cancer. He's going to be so sick. There's no way that I can leave the hospital. They're like prepping to transfer me to the cancer ward, but they like wheel me in. And my doctor, his name was like, he sounded like he was like, came from like the Sims game. He was like this raggedy old man. I was like, yo, we're good. His assistant was like this handsome young black man. I was like, we're good. I was like, you guys can go to lunch. I'm going to be fine. There's no way these two would ever let me die. And so they put me under and I come out and they're like, we have no idea why, but you have absolutely no cancer in your GI tract at all. It's a miracle. Like, so that's crazy. And I was like, okay, this is great news. My mom was the only person who ate the hospital Thanksgiving dinner. We had the worst Thanksgiving of our lives. Like, I think my dad and my siblings had like some pizza that you like heated up like a gas station pizza. Oh, and nice. I had some like Thanksgiving themed sandwich. It was really bad. Everyone was like upset. And then we had to go drive up to Colorado and pack up like pretty much everything in my house. And, you know, my family kind of knew what I was doing, but I don't really knew if they know the gravity of what I was doing. And so when they arrived like, up there,
they're growing the weed. Yeah. Human. Yeah.
So my sister gets up there with my dad and she's like crying because she's like, oh my God, is Kyle like going to jail? Like, what is it? All these plans. And I was like, it's going to be okay. I was like, don't you worry about this. This is just how I've been like staying like alive. They can't believe how, like, they can't believe how big my house is. So they like pack up like my necessities. I had 26 different bongs, some big glass collectors. So they were like, what the fuck? And, then they met my cats for the first time, which they also had to like pack up and bring with me. I was like, we're bringing these home. This is the precious cargo.
You have to. Yes.
So they met the cats. Yeah. And which, thank God, the cats were very good. God love them. They made the whole drive home. And then we just drove back to Illinois and I like left kicking and screaming. I for sure have cancer. They do not know what stage it is. They don't know what kind of cancer it is. And so they're trying to like figure out like what kind of treatment plan, what do you do? Because there's protocols. I had no, like, we didn't know anything about like cancer and like the protocols and everything that are there for it. And like all the different chemo treatments. So I make it back home and this kind of starts the process of me going to different doctors and kind of just getting like a PET scan to figure out like, where's this cancer at? One lady was ready to let me die. My mom wheeled me out of the office and told that lady to her face, you go fuck yourself. And that lady was the person that ended up sending like the samples for my brain tumor to get tested for immunotherapy. Because at this point, they're like, all right, like everyone is like, chemo is going to kill you. You're 79 pounds. Like there's, you're going to die. Like we don't know what to do. And so the best bet that I could do was hope and pray that I qualified for immunotherapy.
Okay. I'm an idiot. What is immunotherapy?
You're not an idiot. Immunotherapy is very new. So immunotherapy instead of chemo teaches your body to fight the cancer cells using its like own white blood cells. And it's a newer treatment. So it's just been developed in the past few years. Oh, I'm blanking on who is the president who just passed away, Johnny.
I already said I was an idiot. So
yeah, I can't remember his name. But so this is really like new treatment, and this is going to be the future of cancer treatment. And this is kind of like what they're right now, Pfizer and like Moderna and everything, they're in a race to find a cure against cancer. And like immunotherapy will be, and let me tell you, their clinical trials are close. Like they're doing incredible things.
What you're on now is
I'm on immunotherapy now. So at this point, like I'm still waiting, like during
and
this
is
time,
is it experimental?
It
kinda
is
kind of still
kind of experimental. So immunotherapy, you have to have 10 mutations to be on it. You have these mutations in your cancer that qualifies because that is the way that it responds to it. People have to have 10. Most people, if they're going to have it, they have 10 or 12. Mine came back and it had 22. My doctor's like, I've never seen anybody with 22 mutations. I don't understand. And so, and it took a while for it to come back. Like this was almost a month of me waiting. And so in between this time, I have a PET scan. It shows up that I have cancer in my ovaries. I have a spot in my liver. There's a shadow forming in my lung. And obviously where it was at in my brain, but they had removed the part in my brain. And so I am still like, they can't do anything. Essentially, they're waiting. I, in between like going in for these scans, and this is going to come back to the last thing you go is the hearing. I didn't realize that I had started to have what we now know were these like seizures because the tumors came back so fast. So I had 3 more brain tumors come back and I had collapsed at the hospital in like right before Christmas. And I was like laying on the floor and I describe it like being in Call of Duty. Where it's like last call, coward's way out, and you're laying on the ground and you got to take your gun and you're shooting and it's like black and white. I could hear and I could see, but I could only see in black and white and I couldn't respond. And I was like laying on the ground and they were like wheeling me back into the hospital and they did some scans and it came back. I had 3 more brain tumors. So at this point they're like, oh shit, we really have to just kind of make a decision. And so nobody wanted to remove my ovaries because they thought it was kind of too late. And it's, so my mom kind of just went into the doctors when they were having a meeting and was like, if this was your child, would you just let them die? You're going to do this operation. Good and so, mom. Yeah, good for Sue for doing that. And so let's my doctor, Sue. Yeah, let's go Sue. Like, she's in charge of a lot of people's like medical, like if you need someone who's like not going to give up on you, call her. But
Sue knows what's up.
Good advocate, absolutely. And so this doctor basically was like, hey, I'm supposed to have a meeting this day, but...
The holidays are here, and that means it's the most wonderful time of the year to save with Rakuten. Use Rakuten to stack cash back at your favorite stores on top of holiday sales. That's savings on savings. With Rakuten, you can get cash back on gifts for everyone on your list. From toys for the kids, to kitchen gear for the person who loves to cook, to electronics for everyone. You can even save on something for yourself. Just shop the stores you love, and cash back is automatically added to your account. And you can get paid with gift cards, PayPal, or check. Or eligible American Express card members can even choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. It's truly a no-brainer. Join for free today and get a new member bonus after minimum qualifying purchases. Just go to Rakuten.com, download the app, or install the browser extension. That's Rakuten. Terms and conditions apply.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. Workplace stress is now a leading cause of declining mental health, with 61% of the global workforce feeling it more than ever. You can't escape work, but you can take small steps to take care of yourself. A walk, some sun, a favorite song. Therapy is one of those steps. Ongoing support to build resilience for whatever your day throws at you. Balance is tough. Getting help shouldn't be. Visit BetterHelp.com today to get 10% off your first month.
We're going to do the surgery. And so she pushed off her meeting. Like, me and my dad, like, didn't know where my mom went. Like, we were in the hospital, and I was like, oh, mom's not answering your phone. This is bad. I hope she's not, like, taking it. So that's where she was. She's kicking ass, taking names. And so I'm, like, in the hospital. The aide for this doctor comes in and is basically, okay, like, we're going to schedule this. We can't do this until after Christmas because of the timing, and you're having radiation treatments. And so I do my radiation treatments. I had the Bane mask and everything that they give you, and they let you listen to music. And I listened to Akon, Locked Up. That was my anthem, because that was my anthem. I was in the hospital. I was locked up. I couldn't get out.
I know that is. Yeah.
When you're like, I just want to leave, but I can't. So,
God. Yeah. So where are you now? Like,
I'm still in Chicago. I'm still here.
No, I know, but like,
yeah, but I've had
treatments. And
so I have, basically, this is like about 2 years into treatment. Most people on these treatments only last a couple sessions. So they do these treatments, they start to do them, and you don't know for a little while if you're going to respond. I just begin to get kind of like, I got really sick. I was really tired from the radiation. I did not know that the radiation was going to make you that tired. I was puking all the time.
Yeah, what did it feel like?
The most tired I've ever been, and like, you just can't wait. I felt like Snorlax, okay? Snorlax, just like asleep. I had a max of like 1 to 2 hours a day that I could stay awake and function. Just the most unbelievable, exhausting, like, literally couldn't open my eyes. I'd be so tired I couldn't get up to go smoke weed. And I also, my doctor was like, they thought the weed was going to affect my immunotherapy. And so I had quit for 76 days. The side effects from immunotherapy, basically, most people quit after a while because it begins to attack your lungs, or it begins to attack like your kidneys or just other parts of your body. It'll cause like weird like symptoms. And so I can't prove this, but I'm definitely like, it's unusual that I've been able to withstand this treatment for so long. And when I was getting really sick with the immunotherapy, I basically told my doctor this. I was like, I'll quit as long as I can. But once I can't take it anymore, I'm going to smoke weed. And I don't care if I die in the end because I feel so horrible, but I'm willing to bet my life on it that it'll work. And so I use my cannabis every day. My family does not like marijuana. It definitely stopped. Like, I was puking so much that I was taking Zofran. I didn't know Zofran could make you constipated. Oh my God. The worst thing I've ever experienced in my life is a manual poop extraction. I will never take Zofran ever again. I'm so afraid to take painkillers. I could never be addicted to them, okay?
I see Adrian laughing.
We use Zofran all the time, and I actually really like it because it works very well. But if you have to take too much of it, being constipated is like the worst thing ever.
And what do you take it for, Adrian?
I don't take it, but we use it at work a lot. And it just like, it really helps with the nausea. But when you are nauseous for 2 or 3 years and you're taking it, that's not great.
Oh no, this happened over like a week period of time. My body is also super sensitive, and I've never taken, like, up until this point, like, basically, like, Tylenol doesn't even really work on me. So, like, my mom never let us take anything. So imagine Zofran, cool, this is making me feel better. Would take that, and, you know, never again. Damn. So the first thing that I noticed when they did, like, the scan to see, like, okay, we're going to do this scan. We're going to see if this immunotherapy is working. Pray, because if not, bye-bye. Right? Like, it got so bad. I was so close to death. I mean, I picked out a tree. I was like, I think I have to have a tree planted because people are going to get arrested for, like, seshing around my grave. Like, I already know this.
You're still in treatment. How many years has it been? You've survived, essentially, the impossible. They didn't think you were going to make it. And how long has it been? And how are you doing now?
So it's... Now it's, let's see, it's been about 2 years. I'm doing good. Like, I'm gaining weight. I'm feeling good. I'm still in a very much gray area. Like, this treatment can stop working at any time. It's extremely experimental. So basically, like, once it stops working, it stops working. Then the cancer, like, comes back, and it could be real quick. But so when they did the scan on me most recently, I don't have any active, like, cancer lesions in my body. I don't have the shadow in my lung. They removed the cancer from my ovaries. It's never come back in my brain after that radiation. And immunotherapy breaks the blood-brain barrier, which chemotherapy does not.
Yes.
And so that's awesome. And so right now, my doctor is like, we're going to keep doing, like, I go for treatments once a month or, like, once every other month, because sometimes I do get, like, I'm like, yo, I really don't feel good. Like, my whole body will hurt. Right now I'm manifesting a hot tub because this makes my tension in my body hurt so bad. I'll be like, ah! And everyone's like, oh, my God. And I'm like, let me in the hot tub, please. And so it's been interesting. Like, I definitely am very aware that, like, I probably am going to die from this unless, like, the cancer vaccine or whatever happens. But this is also so experimental. Nobody knows what to tell me. So right now, I'm kind of vibing. I don't know. I go to my immunotherapy. I'm still kind of, like, effed up. Still relearning to walk. So really, like, so you take that tumble. I've been there. Like, nothing like a good fresh fall to really spice up your life.
Yeah, yeah. Gets the juices flowing, for sure. How do you live with that? Because you're still in this place where...
I mean, I cried for a lot. I mean, I definitely, like, no joke, I've had days where I've, like, laid face down on the floor and just cried about it. Because I'm like, what? This is so effed up. I don't know what to do. I said goodbye to a lot of people. And just,
like,
kind of
even now during your treatments.
During my treatments, like, I mean, there were like I was getting, like, so sick at first, and, like, there were still, like, there's still times when, like, the nursing aides will come in and be like, you know, like, basically it's up to you, like, if you want to keep doing this. Like, it really is like, I've learned self-advocacy is like a thing. And I don't know, like, I met death. I've raged it. I've been through so much crazy shit where, like, I don't know, like, I kind of just threw myself into the fire. There's really I've not met a lot of people who have experienced what I've experienced. I'm kind of just taking it like a lot of people are like, oh, you're not meant, like, clearly, like, you're not meant to die. Like, I'm going to keep, I'm really into just plants. Like, aside from, like, cannabis, like, I can't really grow that at home. So I've been really into, like, just, like, cucumbers and, like, OMRI, like, really, like, organic vegetables and, like, just eating really good food and giving back and teaching people about cannabis and educating people and not being afraid to talk about it. And also being transgender and being like, hey, this happened to me. Like, my doctor is like a gynecologist. She's a gynecological cancer doctor. She has never had a patient like me. They don't know how to treat me. At one point, I had to quit my testosterone because they were like, we think your testosterone caused this. And I was like, no, it's my cancer is estrogen reactive because I was on testosterone for so long. This actually probably really kind of saved me at one point. They think the estrogen receptors fell off my cancer. And, like, I don't know if being on testosterone kind of choked the estrogen, like, from spreading because it feeds off of estrogen. And I have, like, no way to prove that. But it's been, like, a wild ride. Like, there's a really great documentary called Southern Comfort about, like, this trans guy who basically is me 20 years ago, and he died from ovarian cancer. So I'm, like, living that, like, that guy's life if he lived, like, right? And so I'm just gonna keep kind of educating people and vibing it out. And, like, it's been 2 years now. It's like, if I die, I die. If I don't, sick. Let's keep growing some plants. Like, I don't know. Like, what am I gonna do? Like, a lot of people who almost die either become super religious. They either help others or they help themselves. And I was told this by another person who has, like, stage 4 cancer, and they're like, I'm not gonna make it. And I've also learned that, like, a lot of people, I've watched a lot of wonderful people die, and people put way too much faith into a doctor, and you know that. And people also are like, don't lean into death. Be afraid of death. Like, I don't know, like, one of, like, somebody I watched, like, die, Rick Jackson, this is a good dude. He was like, I'm not afraid to die. I'm going to make it. Like, and I was like, no, bro, you should fear death. What is there to fear if not death? Yeah, there might be something. It has nothing to do with, like, religious preference or whatever. I was like, but you should be afraid to go. I don't know, but it'll keep you alive, right? Like, yeah. I'm also somebody who just, like, I'm a hard person to kill, right? If you're firing the gun, you better give me the kick and make sure, because I'm going to crawl the way to help. I don't know. I got that dog in me.
Well, man, you're definitely a fighter, and keep going, and congratulations. I want to hear if someone's going through something, like, whether it was a cancer diagnosis or they were given 6 months to live or whatever, what keeps you going, and what advice would you give to them?
So, I mean, I had a doctor who said to my face, like, that's it. You're going to die. Like, there's nothing I can do. You can be as hopeful as you want. This is stupid. He was very young into his career, very young into his fellowship. And he was like, I don't want to give you hope. Because if I give you hope and you don't make it, you could your family could sue me for like false, like, so basically the doctors, there's a lot going into play with this. Like, they don't want to ruin their reputation. So you can't listen to them. Like, it's not over. It's not over until it's over. Like, right? Like, you really have to just reach inside of yourself and like, all right, like, I really could have just been like, okay, I'm going to die. I'm going to give up and I'm going to roll over. I'm going to be sick. I'm not going to let, like, I could have literally been like, I'm going to go into the woods and end it all. And I'm going to go get a gun. But I don't know. It's just, it's really, it's not over until it's over. And some people have it in them and some people don't. I can't convince somebody to have the will to live. And like, you really, like, I don't know, if you're a fighter, you're a fighter. You're not. And it's, there's nothing wrong with that. There are people, like, some people can't do that. And it's okay. Like, I get it. I was really exhausted. And I know I've listened to your whole podcast. And I know at one point you were saying, like, you were in that bed and you were just like, well, like, I guess this is it. And you just woke up and you weren't dead and you were like still there. But as long as you do have that, just fight. I don't know. Like,
yeah, as long as you have the ability to do anything, do it.
Anything. And I really don't think, like, after like leaving that weird wherever space I was and seeing the other people like interact and be like, why can he leave and we can't? I don't know. Maybe when it is your time, it's your time. I definitely am someone, like, prior to me finding out that this immunotherapy was working, I had a prolific dream about escaping like a pharaoh and surviving, and like my like spirit guide, the raven, like a, I don't know, I have a very deep connection with like the universe and like the world, and like I've always been very much like sixth sense. So I don't know, like, if you're here for a reason, you're here. Just, I don't know, like, I thought my life was gonna go very differently, and I'd really have days where I'm very upset about it, and I do like have days where I get deep and dark and upset and I scream and cry and I lay in bed all day because I am afraid what's going to happen. And so I don't know, like, forgive yourself, right? Like, sometimes you get a little fucked up. Like,
true that.
Yep. And you're allowed to have those bad days too. You're not going to be, you know, rainbows and sunshine every single day.
Any last words?
I guess I want to ask, like, for you, like, what's your, like, what is your prospect for, like, your healing? Like, do they, like, think that you're, like, because I also am someone who has, like, a traumatic brain injury. And trust me, like, I struggle. The stairs scare me and everything. Like, I met someone who is 16 years out from experiencing something like you and me, and they were so okay. I actually didn't know that they had a traumatic brain injury. So just some little hope for you.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a one-off. I know I'm going to keep fighting regardless. I mean, what's the alternative, you know?
Yeah, right.
I mean, it's slower than I would have hoped. They don't know. But, you know, same people that said I wouldn't make it 6 months and I wouldn't survive hospice and I would never talk and I would never get out of bed. And so it's like they just don't know.
They just don't know.
One thing I know, though, is my body's been through a lot. So I can't imagine it's going to go any faster. You know?
Yeah, you're like, but, your body's like, give me a minute, bro.
Yeah.
But it's already done so many amazing things. So keeps getting.
All right, Adrian, any last words?
I just want to know, did they ever figure out where the cancer came from, where it originated?
The speculation right now, so probably my ovaries, right? Like, that's, it had, like, it's the treatment that I'm on pembrolizumab. It's used to treat ovarian cancer with a lot of great success. And so that was kind of, like, what was decided. So, yeah, I'm definitely, like, I would consider myself, like, an ovarian cancer survivor. So that's real fun. I show up in the group and I'm like, what up, girly pops? Hey. It's Kyle. Hey, I got the lady cancer. It's fun.
And then my only other question, do they think if you stop the immunotherapy that it will come back? So that's something that you just kind of have to be on and see how it goes.
They're so like, this is so little like gray area research with that. Like, I think right now the longest person who has had immunotherapy and hasn't come back is 8 years. And I remember it's Jimmy Carter. That is who originally had this treatment. And it worked so good on him that he lived it to be 100 years old. And so that's why they're like, oh, I don't know what to tell you. So,
yeah.
So crazy basically, story. I'm going to be on it until my body is like, yo, no dice. And then we'll see.
Yep. A lot of gray area. They don't know.
The gray area. It's good times.